Yes.
Mr. President, Speaker McCormick on 9-0.
Mr. Speaker,
I'm going to meet with the labor unions and the executives again at 8 o'clock. They're going to turn me down, but this is a statement I made to them at 6 o'clock. I want to talk to you as Americans and as public servants. The extremely serious consequences of a nationwide shutdown of the railroads are plain and clear. The interests of the parties and the public require that every practical effort be made to avoid these consequences. Although this railroad controversy has gone on for over 4 years, it has now been brought to a crisis stage with less than 48 hours available for last-ditch collective bargaining. This does not give the bargaining process, does not give the country a fair break. I do not want to do anything impetuous. I therefore request, I request it as your president, I ask you to restore the status quo as it existed 2 days ago and to maintain the status quo for 20 days. During this period, the Secretary of Labor and the Chairman of the National Mediation Board will work intensively and continuously with the parties to achieve a settlement of the remaining issues in dispute or to obtain agreement on procedures assuring their ultimate settlement. I will expect to keep in close touch personally with the situation. I ask the parties advise me by 8 o'clock tonight of their acceptance of this request, which I make in the interest of their nation. If worst comes to worst, we will not hesitate to go forward with full steam as to what is right for the country, to do what is right for the country. The public interest comes first. We are prepared to go forward with full steam without fear or favor.
Splendid.
Now, they're going to turn me down, and we'll probably decide tonight to come up and ask the Congress to give us a resolution arbitrating the issues that haven't been settled. I've read
come up with a resolution giving
requiring that they submit to arbitration the remaining issues, unresolved issues.
All right, Mr. President.
I have talked to Secretary of Labor, and very confidentially I've gone over it pretty good with Goldberg, just his ideas are off the record, and we've told Orrin Harris, he said it's he's with us, and it's a very good statement. Pastore says it's very good, that he thinks both sides are bitter, and Labor thought it got a bad deal, and Kennedy threw this thing to the ICC, and they felt by not being able to go on strike, free collective bargaining was a sham. He thinks the President ought to keep after it. Phil Hart says tell the President they think Congress will bail him out this time, they're wrong. The votes last summer were premised on the belief that in the interim these issues between management and labor could be resolved. If they go out now, I don't think Congress will open the escape hatch. So we may have another job on our hands. Now, I've read the ticker pretty good today. You did a wonderful job up there. We look a little defensive, the Democrats do. Wayne Hayes and some of them are saying that, well, the Republicans were pretty arbitrary and so on and so forth when they were in power. I rather think that our leadership ought to say that you're the ones delayed this, and they're just trying to keep the majority from working its will, and that when you don't win, you get mad and take your marble and want to go home, and that's no way to act, and
they didn't help.
Shame on you.
They didn't help themselves.
Well, the ticker looks like it, that they've gone on a slowdown, and that they...
The Republicans.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that they...
They even tried to stop us from marching out to MacArthur. You saw that, didn't you?
No.
Yeah, you see, Gross commanded a row of form at about 25 minutes from one, and I wanted to declare a recess so we could go out and the members of the House and be there out of respect to General MacArthur when they were taking his body out of the rotunda. So we got out anyway, but the Night Star carried the story out. It won't do them any good how the GOP or some of them, you know, Gross tried to stop us from going out.
Well, we ought to just say shame on them. They're my little boys, and we ought to... It ought to unite our people more. And,
oh, there's no question. They're our side is resentful.
Well, if I were you and Carl, I'd sure work on them and try to keep them united.
I was sitting in the rostrum there. I called up Les Arrows. I said, Les, will you get down and tell Gross that I'm smiling and thanking him for his childishness? And depression, old sour, and it's just childishness, soreness. Childishness. As a matter of fact, I'm tickled to death this sort.
Okay, my friend.
All right, Mr. President.
You all be ready, though. We may have to act in a hurry.
Well, how you can't act in a hurry unless you come out of committee and get a rule.
I understand that. But...
The week of Monday is the next suspension day.
Well, I imagine they give us a rule pretty quick, though. You know what this railroad strike does? It'll... 44% of the traffic's carried by them, and it'll drop our gross national product by 13%, be four times the largest decline in any post-war recession. It'll be 6 million or more workers will lose their jobs, in addition to the 700,000 in the railroads. It'll raise unemployment rate to 15% or more. Prices would rise sharply. Not all the price rises would be subsequently wiped out. Even if the strike were settled in 30 days, it'd take another month to restore production. So further serious losses of output and income would occur. Much demand would be postponed, could be met by higher production later, although at higher cost, but not all of it would be made up. Our expansion would get a very serious setback and might even be reversed in a long strike. That's what the Council of Economic Advisors reported.
All right, Mr. President.
Okay.